Finding a School for William. William's suspicions were first aroused by the atmosphere of secrecy that enveloped the visit of Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough was a very distant cousin of William's father, and was coming to stay for a weekend with the Browns. William gathered that his father had not met Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough before, in spite of the relationship, that the visitor was self-invited, and that the visit was in some way connected with himself. "Yes, dear," said Mrs. Brown to Ethel. "He's going to arrive before tea tomorrow, and your father's going to try to get home for tea, and they're going to talk it over together quietly after tea in the morning room." "Oh, well, I shall be busy," said Ethel. "I shall be helping Moyna Green with her costume for the fancy dress ball, so I shan't be in their way. She's going as a lady of Elizabethan times, and she's going to look sweet." "Well, I expect they'd like to be left alone to talk things over anyway, dear. Oh, shush!" as she perceived William lolling negligently in the doorway, cracking nuts. "Well, William," said Mrs. Brown brightly, "had a nice afternoon?"
"Yes, thanks," said William.
"We were just talking about Ethel's friend, Miss Green, who's going to a fancy dress ball."
"Yes, I heard you," said William.
"She's going as a lady of the 16th century."
"Uh-huh,"
said William, without interest, as he cracked another nut. He wandered out into the garden. This Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough was coming for some sinister purpose tomorrow. He must find out what that sinister purpose was. The first thing that struck you about Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough was his smile. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough's teeth were so overcrowded that when he smiled it almost seemed as if some were in danger of dropping out. He placed a large hand upon William's head.
"So this is the little man," he said.
"Mm-mm," said William. "Have a nut."
No, I thank you," said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
Then he smiled the very full smile again.
"But I'd like a talk with you, my little man."
His little man turned a sphinx-like countenance to him.
"Yeah, how far have you got in arithmetic?"
asked Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
Said William.
"Fractions?"
suggested Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough. William's whole attention was given to the inside of the nut he had just cracked.
"Bad," he said indignantly. "Bad, and I paid tuppence for 'em. I'll take it back to the shop."
"Decimals?" said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
"No, Brazils," said William.
"I think perhaps it would be better if we left them," murmured Mrs. Brown faintly, and she and Ethel departed.
"Now, what are the dates of Queen Elizabeth?" said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
Said William absently. "Oh, here's another of 'em bad. Huh, and charging tuppence for 'em. Haven't they got a nerve?"
Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough gave up the attempt.
"I'm going to have a nice little talk with your father after tea, my little man," he said.
William then said casually, "I suppose they've told you he's deaf. He gets awful mad if people don't shout loud enough. You've got to shout awful loud to make him hear."
"Oh," said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough. "Now, let's have a few dates."
"Oh, yes, dates is more sense," said William. "You can look at 'em before you buy 'em to see if they're bad. That's the worst of nuts. You can't see 'em through the shells."
Later, he found his father in the hall, hanging up his coat and hat.
"Have you met Mr. What's-his-name?"
said Mr. Brown.
"Yes," said William. "He's very deaf."
"Deaf?"
"Yes, you've got to shout ever so hard to make him hear."
"Oh, goodness," groaned Mr. Brown.
William disappeared round to the front lawn and sat there leaning against the house. His father's voice, raised to a bellow, reached him.
"Won't you sit down?"
And Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough's, in a hoarse shout,
"Thanks so much!"
"Now, about this school,"
yelled his father.
"Exactly,"
bellowed Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
"I hope to open it in the spring. I should like to include your son among the first numbers. Special terms, of course." "Very good of you. Not at all!"
"I'd better prepare you," boomed Mr. Brown's voice. "He doesn't quite conform to type. He's a bit individualistic."
Oh, but it's only a matter of training. I'm most anxious to include your son on our roll when we open next spring.
Purple in the face, Mr. Brown yelled, Very good of you! William withdrew. So that was it. They were going to send him to that man's school, were they? Were they? The next morning, Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough asked William to go for a walk with him. For a time, William walked in silence, and Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough talked. He talked about the glorious historical monuments of England, the joys of early rising, and the fascination of decimals and highest common factors.
Now, which of our grand national buildings have you seen? Said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
Oh, said William, I've never been to the races.
Races?
Yes, you was talking about the grand national, wasn't you?
Where, William, where? Corrected Mr. Cranborough.
I'm not quite sure where, admitted William, but I know a man what won some money on it last year.
No, you misunderstand me, William. Have you never visited such places as Hampton Court?
A gleam of interest came into William's face.
Yes, he said. I once went there. I remember because there was a man there what told us it was haunted, said a ghost of someone used to go downstairs there.
No, no, William, Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough said reprovingly. You mustn't make fun of such things. They are not to be treated lightly. The fact that you have seen no ghosts is not proof that there are no ghosts. So far from it. Believe me, William, though I have seen none myself, I have friends who have seen the Hampton Court ghost.
Oh, didn't it scare 'em stiff, rattling and groaning and such like?
It does not rattle or groan, William. It is the figure of a lady of the 15th century, and everyone does not see it. It is indeed a sinister omen to see it. Some evil always befalls those who see it. The one who sees it, and only one person sees it on each occasion, invariably suffers some catastrophe.
William approached the morning room just before lunch. William, said his mother, we have something to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Now, this cousin of your father's, said his mother, is really the headmaster of a boys' boarding school, and we think, though nothing's yet arranged, we think that we're going to send you to his school next spring. Won't it be nice?
Uh-huh,
he said absently, as he continued to toy with his marbles. He had the satisfaction of seeing his family thoroughly taken aback by his reception of the news. After lunch, Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough, who by now looked upon the addition of William's name to his roll of members as a certainty, went into the garden, and Mrs. Brown went to lie down. William, after strolling aimlessly about the house, joined Ethel in the drawing-room. She was not alone. Moyna Green, in an elaborate Elizabethan dress of purple and silver, was with her. Just then the housemaid entered.
"Mrs. Bott called to see you, miss,"
she said to Ethel. Ethel groaned and turned to Moyna.
"Oh, my dear, you know what she is. She'll keep me ages. You won't run away, will you?"
"No,"
promised the purple and silver vision.
"I'll tell you what you might do," said Ethel. "Go and let old Jenkins see you. I think he's in the greenhouse. I told him you were going as a 16th-century lady, and he said, "Oh, her'll look rare pretty. I wish I could see her. So he'd be so bucked up if you would."
"I'll just finish this ruffle, and then I'll go out to him."
William went quietly out of doors. His face was bright with inspiration. He went to join Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough, who was comfortably ensconced in a deck chair at the further end of the lawn.
"Mr. Cranborough," he said slowly, "I've been thinking about what you said this morning."
"Ah," said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough, thinking what a gift for dealing with the young he must possess to have made an impression upon such unpromising material as this boy's mind. "About what, my boy? The history, the French, the arithmetic?"
"No, the ghost. I've just remembered something about this house."
What? Said Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough.
Well, said William, as though reluctantly, "well, some folks say that an old house used to be here just where this house is now, and that a lady of the 16th century was killed in it once, and some folks say they've seen her. I don't believe it," he ended carelessly. "I've never seen her."
"What is this lady supposed to look like, my boy?"
She's dressed in purple and silver, said William, with a long train and a ruffle thing round her neck and very black hair, and she's supposed to walk out of that window over there and then go across the lawn behind those trees. He pointed to the trees which hid the greenhouse from view.
And you say that people profess to have seen her?
Oh, yes. At that moment, Moyna Green stepped out of the drawing-room window onto the lawn in all her glory of purple and silver. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough gazed at her, and his jaws dropped open.
Look, he gasped to William. Who's that?
Who's what? Said William, gazing around. Miss Moyna Green passed slowly to the middle of the lawn. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough's eyes, bulging with amazement, followed her. So did his trembling forefinger.
There, he hissed. Just there.
William stared straight at Miss Moyna Green. I don't see anyone, he said. Drops of perspiration stood out on Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough's brow. The figure of Miss Moyna Green crossed the lawn and disappeared behind the trees. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough gave a gasp.
What did you say happens to those who see it?
Oh, I don't suppose anyone's really seen it, said William carelessly. I never have. I think they've simply made it up, purple dress and ruffle and all. But it's supposed to mean very bad luck for the one who sees it.
What kind of bad luck?
Well, said William confidentially, it's supposed to be seen by one of two people together, and the one what sees it is supposed to be going to have some very bad luck through the other, the one what was with him when he saw it but what didn't see it. Through the trees, William spied the figure of Miss Moyna Green, who had evidently left Jenkins and was returning to the drawing-room.
And folks say that it's worst of all if you see it twice, once going from the house and once coming to it.
The figure of Miss Moyna Green emerged from the trees and passed slowly on to the lawn. Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough watched it in stricken silence. Then he said to William, with an unconvincing attempt at nonchalance,
You don't see anyone on the lawn, William, do you?
Again William looked straight at Miss Moyna Green.
No, there ain't no one there.
Miss Moyna Green disappeared through the drawing-room window.
All the bad luck, repeated William artlessly, is supposed to come from the one they're with when they see it. But I don't believe anyone ever has seen it, if you ask me.
Mr. Cranthorpe Cranborough brought his eyes from the direction in which Miss Moyna Green had vanished to William. He seemed to realize for the first time the full import of his vision. William and Ethel and Robert had gone to bed. Mr. and Mrs. Brown sat in the drawing-room alone.
"He went very suddenly, didn't he?" said Mr. Brown. "I thought I'd find him here tonight."
"I can't understand it," said Mrs. Brown. "He just came in and said he was going, gave no reason, and was most peculiar in his manner."
"And you didn't arrange anything about William going there?"
"I tried to, but he said he was afraid he'd have no room for William after all. He said it several times. He went off to the station at once."
"Very strange," said Mr. Brown. "He was all right at lunch, you say?"
"Quite. He was talking then as if William were going."
"And what did he do after lunch?"
"Well, he went into the garden to rest."
"And who was with him?"
"No one. Oh, except William for a few minutes."
"Aha," said Mr. Brown. "I'd give a good deal to have been present at those few minutes."
"Are you sorry, dear, that William's not going to a boarding school?"
"I don't think I am," said Mr. Brown. "Well, I should have thought you'd have found it so nice and quiet without him." "Doubtless I should. But it would also have been extremely dull."